everybody. You are listening to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and it's so good to have you with us today. The sun is shining. It is still summertime, and I hope that you're enjoying it as much as I am. We have so much going on here at Working Mother, and we love sharing it all with you. There are so many inspirational stories that we get on a daily basis from so many moms who are out there living these purpose-driven lives and really getting things done and setting great examples for their kids. And I want to dive right into this one because I am so When I first learned about what Ashley Hunter Riley is doing, I was just so inspired, and I'm hoping to bring that to you today too. So, Ashley, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, you founded a nonprofit called Fit Kids. Before we talk about what Fit Kids actually does, explain to me what caused you to take the initiative to start a nonprofit.
Yeah, well, it's this is one of my favorite topics, so thank you for asking. Fit Kids is about 5.5 years old, and the idea came from this really simple realization that so many kids don't have opportunities to be active and play sports. I am a very busy mom of 4 kids who love playing sports. I grew up playing sports, and it just struck a chord with me that not everybody had the same opportunities, and it's not that I thought everybody needed to be an Olympic athlete, but sports brings so many different benefits to people, whether it's physical, mental, social, emotional. I just really felt like everybody needed that opportunity and read an article in a local magazine about some nonprofits that were helping kids play sports. And I thought, that is really cool. I can definitely do something about it myself. And started spending some time in a local community with kids who didn't have access to after-school sports programs for lots of reasons. It might be because they're too expensive. It might be because they didn't have programs available in their community, and these were also kids who had limited opportunities to just be active because PE might be only once a week, and they might not have safe neighborhoods or parks to play in the after-school hours. And I found that I was helping and making a big impact by going over there and providing opportunities for kids to be active, and so Fit Kids was born. I'd never started a nonprofit before, but did some research online and applied for our 501c3 status. It took a while, but we got it. And so here we are 5.5 years later with a great program. We're essentially doing the same thing that we did when I started it 5.5 years ago.
That is amazing. Now, let's talk about the need that you saw and that it needed to be filled, because I think that a lot of people don't really, are not in a space where they're seeing, you know, and experiencing this particular issue. You know, we have had so many budget cuts and when it comes to education, and one of the first things to go is usually physical education.
Yeah.
And so in the public school systems, you aren't always looking at, you know, like when we were kids, or when I was a kid anyway, it was something that was just a part of the curriculum. And, you know, you went out and you did PE, but that's not the case so much anymore. It has dwindled significantly, yeah?
It has dwindled significantly, and there might be a state mandate for a certain amount of the school day spent with doing PE or physical activity, but if schools don't have money to pay for PE teachers or pay for equipment, it isn't going to happen. And we found that at most of the schools we worked with, kids had very limited PE opportunities. And then in the after-school hours, they stayed at school until their parents picked them up more in the evening, and they didn't have opportunities to be active in the after-school hours either. So while Fit Kids really started with the goal of getting kids to play sports, what I soon found was kids really just need opportunities to be active and to build the skills, their physical skills like speed, strength, and agility that would help them get into sports when they maybe had those opportunities later in life.
Well, and you know, some of this kind of astounds me because if you've ever been around a kid, like, I mean, I live with 2 kids. I'm a mom, and
yeah.
they need physical activity. They can't think straight if they don't get physical activity. They
That's
truly can't.
True. And it's for so not many reasons they need it.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to me like something that should even be optional. If you're dealing with children, you must incorporate physical activity into their lives. And the fact that we haven't prioritize this is just shameful to me. And I'm so glad that we have people like you who are not just standing for it and not just allowing that to go by.
Youth sports are really expensive. That's kind of been in the news a lot, just how expensive youth sports are. So even for the kids where that's just going to cost too much money, they still need these opportunities to be active. But if they don't have parents available to play, or they don't have safe parks or streets to ride bikes in, they don't have that opportunity.
Absolutely. So we're going to come back and talk more about what it is that you are doing at Fit Kids right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. We are listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
You are listening to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are talking with Ashley Hunter Riley. She is the founder of the nonprofit organization Fit Kids. It is 5.5 years old, and it was born from the fact that Ashley saw a need that needed to be filled in our society. When, you know, there are children out there who are just not being given access to sports and physical activities, and with all of the cuts that we've seen throughout the years in our educational systems, we've seen a lot of the physical activity go by the wayside, and you know, schools just don't have the money for it. A lot of these kids that are needing this kind of program live in areas where there just aren't safe playgrounds to play. Their parents are working late, and there's no one around to play with them. And these are very real issues, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you're a good parent. It has everything to do with the fact that this is just not something that is available to your child. And, you know, without people like Ashley Hunter Riley, there are a lot of kids who would not be exposed to the amazing experiences that these kids who are involved with Fit Kids are having. So let's talk about what you're doing for these kids. How do you identify where you are going to go to provide your programs?
So we work with schools and community organizations that work with at-risk and low-income kids. Where I live in the Bay Area, we are just familiar with those communities, but our program is expanding outside the Bay Area around the country. So we have a application that sites or schools can complete online, and we look for at least 50% of the student body to be on federal lunch assistance, and then they would qualify to get Fit Kids for free.
Got it. Now, if you have, let's say, you know, one area that you're working with, and you're branching out to another and another, are people reaching out to you asking for you to? Yeah, I would imagine
we get so many emails a week, and they're all really touching emails. From it might be a parent, it might be a school, might be some kind of community activist, and they're all expressing the need for a program like Fit Kids because the kids in their community or their organization don't have these opportunities to be active or play sports. So we have many, many requests every week, and we can't meet all the requests, unfortunately. We are slowly expanding with this national charter program that we launched last fall. So the charter program enables us to get the program outside the Bay Area where we're based. Mm-hmm. Because we give the equipment and we give the program online to schools and community organizations that apply. So we provide everything for free to them, and then they can run Fit Kids at their site with their kids and their staff.
That is fantastic. Now, with childhood obesity being a huge national epidemic, it's a huge problem. You, I would imagine, are having a big impact on that, and you know, and not only preventing obesity, but also there, like you said, you know, in the first segment, there are so many upsides to physical activity for kids. I would imagine that a lot of these kids, you start to see their grades go up as well.
Absolutely, that's a huge benefit, and while we don't go out and say we are a weight loss program, that is a natural consequence of increasing physical activity. So we are sure that that happens for kids. We know that there's all kinds of mental benefits like improved academic success. There's emotional benefits like working with a team, building relationships with adults who are our coaches. So we have all of those kinds of things that we're measuring and seeing an impact on the kids we work with. We also do give nutrition tips at each class. We know that to truly live a healthy life, you need to eat well, included with physical activity. So we do touch on nutrition with the kids too.
That is great, because I feel as though I'm glad to hear that you're keeping metrics on yeah. this information, because it seems to me that it's such an obvious thing that kids yeah. need. And so to have the data and to be able to measure it and be able to present it in terms that people can understand and see the impact that you're making, I would imagine it's huge. And
it
these
is.
People.
It's really exciting. And we do collect these metrics so that we have a numerical measure of our impact on the kids. And I'm really excited to say that we always have a positive impact on their performance in the categories we test, which are power, speed, strength, and endurance. And so we see a really great improvement there. We also are taking measurements on the kids' attitudes towards being physically active, kind of trying to measure how much do they like being active, and then how much more do they like it after they've done Fit Kids, because we make it so fun to be active. And while those measures are all really important, I can tell you that the anecdotal data, we collect quotes from the kids, quotes from the coaches, quotes from the schools and organizations we work with, and then the smiles on the kids' faces, that really says it all about the kind of impact we're having on them.
Oh, it's huge. I'm looking at a picture right now of you hugging a yeah. little girl, and she looks like she's just going to burst. She's just so happy. I love it. I'm going to bring back more of Ashley's stories right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Don't be a wantrepreneur. If you're ready to become an entrepreneur, Benetrends Financial can help. Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies help real entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically, so you can finally purchase that business of your dreams. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends Financial, funding for the life of your business.
Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. And before we get into more of what Ashley Hunter-Reilly is up to with Fit Kids, Ashley, I want to ask you, where can our listeners go if they want to learn more about Fit Kids or interact with you guys on social media?
That would be great. We have a great website. It's fitkids.org. There's all kinds of information about our program. People can apply or just send us an email. We have some news up there, different organizations that have supported us, all kinds of great pictures and videos, so you can get everything there. And then we're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as well.
Fantastic. And, you know, I have to say, you really do need to go visit this site, because if you see what the impact that they're having, I mean, you just can't be a mom and not be moved by Fit Kids. You really can't. You're really doing great work, Ashley. Could you share with us maybe any stories that you have of, you know, something that you're super proud of that Fit Kids has accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of all of the young lives we're touching, but I know one little girl in particular we worked with, this was two falls ago, so not last fall, the prior year. And we work with young kids. They're grades K to second grade. So they're younger and they can be shy. And one little girl, she was very shy in the beginning of the season. Our season is about 12 weeks. We do 24 classes with the kids. We had phenomenal coaches out there. I can say that while we do have a great program, we have amazing coaches who make the program even that much better. And so we had a couple of great coaches at this little girl's class. She was very timid in the beginning, and she didn't want to participate. And we see that often, that kids are not maybe jumping right in, and they're nervous about, is it going to be hard or challenging? And by the end of it, they're always really excited and wanting more. But this little girl in particular, by the maybe fourth or fifth class, she, I know, was asking for the kids to come every day. She would be sad when it was over. She hugged her coaches. She looked forward to seeing these people at every class. And when the season ended, she cried. And I just know that we made a huge impact on her physical abilities, for sure, but mentally and emotionally, we were people who were showing up for her every day, and we were there consistently, and just a source of love for her. And it was really touching to see.
That's huge. I honestly, you know, when you have a purpose like that and you can see the impact that it's making on children, it really is just a phenomenal gift. And thank you so much for dedicating so much of yourself to something like this. It's benefiting society.
Privilege.
Well, you know, it is benefiting society in ways that we can't measure, you know, because you're sending all these people out into the world with a completely different perspective and a different way of looking at themselves. And in turn, you know, they're putting out something far more positive than they would have been prior to Fit Kids being in their lives. And that's, you know, that has an effect that nobody can really measure. So, before we go, I want to talk about, you know, you are a mom of four and you have been dedicated to Fit Kids for 5.5 years. How have you been able to juggle that and make that work in your own life?
It was a really busy first couple of years, and I would spend the days working on Fit Kids stuff and then do carpool and dinner time with my kids, and then I could stay up till midnight and get up at 5 a.m. I feel like I was a lot younger then, so I can't really do that anymore. But in the beginning of an organization, that's what you have to do to get it off the ground. And we really struck such a chord in the community we were working with right away that I saw we're onto something here, and I just couldn't let it go. So I was willing to sacrifice definitely my sleep in order to make this impact on the kids in the community we were working with.
And what do your four kids think about what mommy's doing?
They absolutely love it. They get it. They're all athletes. They love sports. And we talk a lot about that they're lucky to have those opportunities, and not everybody does. So they've come out to classes before. They love coming to the Fit Kids office. We have a big warehouse where we hold all the equipment. So they'll go through and set up different games for themselves. And they've really learned to understand the importance of physical activity and helping others. There's a lot of lessons for them there.
There are a lot of huge lessons for them there, because I think, you know, what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that you involve them in this.
Absolutely.
This is not something that mommy goes off and does and then comes
back
home.
And they know all about it. And when things happen or there's news or we have this one big event we do every spring, the kids are very involved and we talk about it a lot.
Yeah, that's important, because I would imagine that for your own kids' self-esteem and for what, you know, you're setting them up for the future, not only do they see the benefits of helping others, but they're seeing the benefits of your work ethic.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you've created something when there was nothing.
Yep. I'm very proud of Fit Kids, but I think my kids are very proud of Fit Kids too.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. Now, if you have any advice for working moms who are thinking about, you know, doing volunteer work or doing something for nonprofit, and you know, trying to figure out, you know, trying to find the time to do that, and finding something that they're passionate about, what advice would you give them for, you know, for trying to, you know, make that time in their schedule for something that they're passionate about?
Well, I think it's so rewarding to volunteer and give back that I know it's easy to say I'm too busy, I can't do this today, and you end up not doing it. It's really easy to just run out of time. But when you make the time and you are able to give back, I think it's so rewarding and always so worth it. So I really hope that people find the thing that speaks to them and that they're so passionate about it. It doesn't mean you have to start a nonprofit, but even if it's just giving an hour or two a month, maybe with your kids, it might be a great way to do an activity with your kids. And there's so many incredible nonprofits that could use the time, the help, that I think you can find a little one in your community, or of course there's big national ones that always need the help too. But it's worth it.
Absolutely. Great advice. Thank you so much, Ashley, for being here with us today.
Thank you
and
for
again
having
go
me.
Absolutely. Please go visit fitkids.org, get inspired, and really what you're doing is fantastic, and we appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you.
I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio, and we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about $10 a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. And, you know, it's just so inspiring to hear that women, they've got that extra hour a week that they can volunteer. They've got that, you know, those resources to make a difference in communities. And to that point, you know, following up on that last story, I want to talk to you about something that we have an article on workingmother.com, and it's called "Why Are Working Families Still Hungry in America?" And here to talk to us about it today is one of our fearless leaders, our executive editor, Barbara Trevette. Thanks so much for being here today, Barbara.
Hi, Bettina. I'm so happy to be here to talk about a subject that I am utterly passionate about.
It's that passion and drive and conviction for what we believe in as women that really does drive change and make things happen. So I want to talk about what is your history with this particular subject matter, Barbara, and why is it so important to you?
Okay, that's a very good question. Some years ago, I went to a press screening of a film called A Place at the Table. And that film, connected to that film, which was directed and produced, I believe, by Tom Colicchio's wife, Lori Sugarbush, who is a director, that film was all about hunger in America and how families are food insecure and don't have enough to eat on a regular basis. And I was so taken by this film, which also, by the way, was partly showing the work of an organization called No Kid Hungry. I was so taken by the film and the truth of it and the absolute horror of it, the fact that 16 million children in our country don't get enough to eat on a regular basis, the fact that we have a powerful government and we're one of the richest countries in the world, and so many kids don't get breakfast, don't get lunch, don't know where their next meal is coming from, and so many working families also are in this situation. Well, that just triggered it for me. So I immediately, via Working Mother, well, first of all, I started donating to No Kid Hungry personally on my own. And then via Working Mother, as of course I was working here at the time, I contacted them and had a meeting with them and set up a partnership with them where we've been a content partner and we've been putting out editorial around this topic for a few years now, and we also have been talking about it at our conferences, and we sometimes raise money here at the office and send it to them because this organization, No Kid Hungry, has been around for a long time, and in the past, say, 10, 15, 20 years, they've been working on child hunger and really getting things done. They've been putting meals in classrooms in the morning, breakfast, so that kids who can't afford breakfast and get free breakfast at school, instead of them having to show up early and be stigmatized by, well, were the poor kids eating breakfast before school starts, they're putting breakfast in the classroom for all kids so that there's no stigma. All kids are eating breakfast at school at the same time. And even kids who had breakfast at home, if they eat it again, it doesn't hurt them at all physically. There's been a lot of research on this problem in America. We know that there are SNAP benefits, which, you know, formerly called food stamps, but SNAP benefits have been cut in this country. This has been an escalating problem rather than a diminishing one since the 70s, and it's really aggravating to me. And I hope it's aggravating to working mothers all over this country because it drives me crazy.
Absolutely. I can see why it drives you crazy because it's very frustrating. You know, on one hand, I can't tell you how many shows and how many people I talk to about the issue of childhood obesity and the fact that that's, you know, rampant in this country and how few times I hear anything about child hunger and the fact that, you know, millions, I mean, we're not just talking about 2 million kids, 16 million, 17 million kids
who
are food insecure.
That's right. One out of five children in the United States are food insecure.
That's insanity. I mean, with the
one out of five. That means if you look
money
in your neighborhood,
goes to this country. Finish that thought.
You look in your neighborhood, or you go to your child's school, and they are friends with kids that are hungry, and there's probably a kid on your block in your neighborhood who doesn't know where they're going to get their lunch from, especially in the summer when there's no school programs going on.
This is unbelievable.
It's really, really sad.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about this and what we can do to fight this and hear more about some people's stories and what they're dealing with in this country because it's very real. And I feel as though this is something that is not discussed enough at all. And we as mothers have a responsibility to really look at this and ask ourselves, how can I help? So we'll be right back after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and I am speaking with Barbara Trivett. And thank you again so much for being here today with us, Barbara. I know, you know, you're very busy bringing amazing content to all of us at Working Mother on a regular basis.
Well, I'm always happy to talk to you, Bettina. You know I love talking about our content with you, but I'm particularly passionate, as I've said, about this particular topic, and I'm so glad we finally were able to publish this wonderful article in Working Mother magazine and on workingmother.com. about now, why so many people are still hungry in the United States of America.
Now let's talk about this, because I want to dig in a little deeper about the stories of the people who are hungry, because we're not talking about homeless people here.
I think
that's part of what the enlightenment process on this conversation needs to be, is that we're not talking about people who are living on the streets. We're talking about people who are working. So let's dive
into that. There are working moms. There are working moms in this country who are working two jobs trying to feed their children, and often it's single moms. We will say that. You know, there are a lot of single working moms in this country. There is no two ways about that. And a lot of them are working low-paying jobs. They can't afford to bring quality, nutritious food to the table for their kids for every meal. They struggle with getting food on the table, and therein lies the problem. I mean, if you work a minimum wage paying job in this country, you're going to be below the poverty line if you have kids. That's the bottom line right there. And if you're below the poverty line, you cannot afford to feed your kids. So that's the sad story here. And I wanted to go back to one thing you said before, Bettina, quickly. You talked about obese kids and why, you know, we focus on that a lot. The interesting thing about hunger is that hunger and obesity often go hand in hand. You can't always tell who's hungry by the way they look, because people who don't have enough money for quality food, they buy fast food to try to fill up themselves and their kids, and that food is full of high fat and high sugar and processed ingredients that often puts on weight even though you're not getting enough nutrition from it. So obesity, you can look at someone and see that they might be obese, but they might also be hungry. And that's the conundrum there, which is, I think, very interesting.
I'm so happy you brought that point up, because, you know, in this article, we talk about this one family, and she's saying, you know, we were living on bologna, hot dogs, and 99-cent bread.
You know, that's correct. Well,
those kids are not getting their omega-3s. They are not getting anything that comes from a green leafy vegetable is not happening for them. There's so many essential nutrients that these kids are not getting.
And that's right. Quality fruit and vegetables are expensive. Sorry to say, but that's the truth. They're expensive. You know, a loaf of white bread is not so expensive, but a bunch of broccoli costs more.
Absolutely. Right? So it's so obvious that what's happening here, it's not so much that these kids are skinny and emaciated, it's that they're suffering from malnutrition. They're not getting what they need in order to thrive, and that's heartbreaking.
So, and what you said before about things we can do, it's tricky. You know, we wonder, we often feel kind of hopeless and kind of like helpless when we hear about problems like this. We figure, what can we do? What can we do? Well, there's a lot we can do. I'm with you. When you're a mom, if you see kids that are hungry, or you know about kids that are hungry, they're kind of like they could be your kids.
Yep.
That's how I feel. These are all our kids. These are our children, okay? So I think really moms, I feel very responsible as a working mother to try to do something about this. Yes, I donate money to No Kid Hungry, but there are other things you can do beside donating money. You can volunteer for food banks and programs. You can call your congressman. That, you know, people think that that's futile, that if they call or write letters to their representatives in Congress, it does no good. But that's not true, because when a lot of people get behind initiatives, things happen.
Yes,
and I think
absolutely.
It's really important to remember that. You can say, put more money toward SNAP benefits so that hungry kids and families can get more to eat and better nutrition. You know, if there was a huge campaign to do that by writing to your congresspeople, something would be done. It would have to be, because these people in Congress, although sometimes we're kind of mad at them because we don't feel like they're doing enough, they work for their constituents. They have to work. They want to get reelected. They're working for their constituents. And if a lot of their constituents write them a letter and say, put more money toward feeding hungry families, they're going to think about it. So that's another thing you can do. And then other organizations like No Kid Hungry, they have all kinds of things going on to help all kinds of people get involved. There's a problem called Dine Out for No Kid Hungry, and coming up in September, where they have millions, they have many, many chef and restaurant partners, No Kid Hungry, and they all these chefs and all these restaurants help raise money by participating in Dine Out, so that when an ordinary person goes and dines out at these places during September, that some of that money goes right to No Kid Hungry, and that money goes directly to helping kids have breakfast and lunch in and out of school. So there's lots of ways we can all get involved. I really recommend everybody read this article. It's online at workingmother.com, and it's in our August-September issue of Working Mother, which is beautiful, by the way. And please, 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 if you care about kids, get involved in trying to help hungry kids get food on the table.
Boy, you know, it's so wonderful to hear just the tone of your voice when you talk about this and how impassioned you are about it, because I feel as though this is what we need in order to create change. This is what we need in order to really bring awareness and make people understand just how dire this is. And I want to emphasize again, you know, look at these children and think, you know, about your own children and the fact that, you know, we're fortunate enough that it's not our child, but it could be. And
that's exactly right. That's exactly right, Bettina.
We're Americans, and we're all living in the same country, and we all need to look out for each other. And this is something, you know, getting involved in the democratic process and making it work for you when it comes to issues that matter, that's huge. It is a big deal. And to not be cynical about that and to really engage in that is something that can make a difference. And we're going to be back with more about how you can make a difference after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. We are continuing our conversation with the lovely Barbara Turvett, our executive editor, who has brought to our attention a very real, very important subject, which is childhood hunger in America and the fact that 16 million children, 17.5 million households, one out of every five struggle with hunger in the United States of America, the wealthiest nation in the world. This is unacceptable, and we need to see it that way. And I want to talk about the fact that, you know, we can also get our kids involved in this and make our kids aware. At my kid's school, I'm in charge of community service for the school, and every year we do a hunger awareness week, and we spend the entire week educating our kids about hunger awareness and the fact that they are very fortunate, and there are children living in this country that aren't fortunate. And we do some exercises out on the playground to emphasize to them the struggles that kids who are dealing with hunger have. And we do an art contest about, you know, what them being creative about ways that they can be helpful and ways that they can show empathy and ways that they can create change. And I think it's important that we instill these values in our kids early on so that they understand that good nutrition and not being hungry is not something it's not something that you should feel entitled to, because you've got millions of kids who aren't. And And really, it is something you're entitled to. And so we need to make sure, we need to be responsible that not only are we putting this as something that matters to us and something that's a priority, but that our kids understand that this is something that is very real part of their country and something that they need to be responsible for as well.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, Bettina. It's so important to talk to your kids about this. It's so important because people in this arena, people who are working on hunger, really feel like it's the next generation or two that can actually help and solve this problem. But we need to talk to them and inspire them to take action. We need to talk to our kids why it's important to help people in need and why they need to have empathy and compassion for people who are less fortunate. It sounds so simple, but it's a really important thing to do. We can't be complacent about things like this.
We cannot. And, you know, I see the power in when you have a woman who believes in something and is passionate about it and wants to drive change. When you see that power get ignited in a child, it is so impactful and it's inspiring. And you really do feel as though anything is possible. And I agree that, you know, this can be solved in one generation. It is not something that has to continue in perpetuity. It's not something that has to be knocked down slowly or conquered, you know, gradually. I think it is something that can be solved in one generation. So I thank you again for making sure that our readers and our listeners get a chance to be exposed to this issue and for this amazing article. I mean, it really does help you get inside of the world of a hungry family, and the fact that, again, we're not talking about homeless people here. We're talking about Americans who are working hard.
That's right. And I want to encourage anyone listening to, once again, to go on workingmother.com and read Why Are Working Families Still Hungry in America, and read about actual working moms who struggle with this problem and who are getting out of it because they're accepting help, they're reaching out, and they are also teaching their kids that they need to give back now that their kids are doing better. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. Well, that's it. That's all the time we've got for today. But thank you again, Barbara, for being here with us. And you know, before we go, how about a little sneak peek of some of the things that people can expect to see in our next issue of Working Mother magazine?
Are you talking about our October issue?
Yes.
Ah, well, that's our biggest issue of the year. That's where we put out our 100 best companies for working mothers of the year, and it's a really, really big deal. So make sure you go look at it. We also have a wonderful piece on working with disabilities, which is a fascinating story all on its own. And there's so much more. So, yeah, keep your eye out for the October issue, 100 best companies, and lots, lots more.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Barbara. And again, don't forget to visit us at workingmother.com. There is new content constantly. So if you've just been, go again, because there's something else new and great to look at. We've got our videos. We've got our articles. Everything is up to date, up to the minute, anything that you want to see. And visit us online and social media. And I always want to hear from you. I want to know what articles you want me to emphasize. I want to know what subject matter you want to hear about. And I will bring it to you. I am at Bettina Bush on Facebook and Twitter. I am at Bettina Bush Official on Instagram, and I love hearing from you. And don't forget, there's no way to be a perfect mom, but there are a million ways to be a good one. Thanks so much for being here with us, and we'll see you next week.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.